Welcome to a new episode of the China Flexpat podcast. I'm Francis, and I'm a German sales director of a Chinese company. And today we have Beatrice, who is an Italian business development manager for an Italian company. And that makes it really interesting to discuss how to bridge cultures and how to do business development in China, a different market with a different language. With this, welcome Beatrice.
So my name is Beatrice Aondio. I'm from Italy. I studied anthropology and back in time, and then I had to choose one language while studying anthropology. So I chose Chinese to add some solid skills other than the soft ones of the social study. And it works. So I came to China to work for an Italian company, helping them to set up an investment and a production factory here in China near Nanjing. And then after learning the whole process, I then started my own consulting company, helping foreign entities to enter Chinese market and to develop it. So in different fields, from food and beverage and then technology. And then now after 7 years that I owned my own company, I needed a change to have like a bigger growth in a bigger environment. And then I joined Marpos as a business development for the new industries of medical devices and glass containers.
Welcome, Beatrice. It's a nice story. How did you start your career? Do you still remember how you started this first job? And what is the value of being based in China?
So I started my career after having had an experience here in China with a scholarship of the ministry, the foreign ministry of Italy. And then I stayed here. So it was at that time, it was the Expo in Shanghai, 2010, long time ago. And then I got some contacts and then I got in touch with this Italian company that wanted to set up a new investment for a factory here in China. And I got the opportunity. I was lucky to be here. So I think being located in China is a big advantage. So I was here and I got the opportunity to start with them in the beginning only as a translator. And then with this advantage of the language, I got to know the whole process of doing an investment of a foreign owned company and then to learn how to build a factory and how to build a team and how to basically enter this market. So I think it's a big advantage to have had the opportunity to be in this place in the right time when China was already bustling and opening and was very open to the outside world already also.
So I understand you started with market entry, but then eventually you got into business development. So how did you learn this? Who teach you and how do you teach yourself to do this?
So it was very natural, actually. So I started, market entry, and also then got into business development. I think one of the biggest teacher was my first boss and first salesperson that I used to work with, and it was a Chinese local person. So, and then also self-learning, and then, of course, I did some business management courses in the universities. So I had a social background. And then I also did some business management consulting and management study of economics as well. So I learned the processes, and then it was very interesting to see how could we merge together. So the different skills that we had and the different backgrounds, so social backgrounds, so to understand and to understand more the other culture. And also the technical or the other soft skill as a business development, so as a sales as well.
So if you enter a new, completely new business field doing business development in this area, so what is your biggest challenge that you face in this process?
I think, of course, the main challenge is the competition. So it means the resistance from the players that are already in the market. But this can be also turned into an opportunity. So you can use this resistance to understand and to see what is the point that they are missing or what are the possibility for you to go inside?
I'm German and we have Industry 4.0, and then China came up with Made in China 2025. I'm also in technology and I was expecting that there is new markets coming up, or there's push from the government. Maybe there's budgets, maybe there's money, but maybe there's also competition coming, Chinese competition going into this market, my market, and as a competitor. So how do you deal with this, and how can technology companies deal with Made in China 2025?
Sure, yeah, Made in China 2025 was the almost the answer, like, to, and then to the policies of Europe and of the Western world. And but I think the plan is an industrial policy that was, so it was, for this reason, it was criticized a lot from foreign countries. But except for some local target companies named as leaders, the amount of investment, in my opinion, is not very clear, and it was never stated how much money is put. And also lately, since 2018, is not really enhanced by the government, local government either. Yes, it could be very challenging, and it's very difficult to decide who is the winner and who is the loser. Yeah, I think also it's going to grow, and there are going to be like a lot of opportunities for these fields that they are targeting. And of course, personally, for example, for my industries, medical devices are included in the plan, even if there is more focus on the biopharm. But I think the best way to do, again, is to be flexible and to adapt. So to adapt the technologies to the new processes and the products. And I mean, with the strong support from the headquarter and a green light from the for the developing of the new technologies, I think there is a lot of space still for the new technologies. So for high technologies companies, products, it doesn't matter if they're local or most likely from the Western world, yeah.
And how exactly do you do this with your team? So what is your most important platform to grow your brand and to get leads in China?
I mean, of course, we are in China, so the best platform are Chinese ones. So we use different ones. So we use influencers, of course. We use so different journals or sectors, industry sector newspapers, for example. And we try to influence in that way. And also we attend exhibitions. We have a mini program, we chat mini program, and we do webinars. So since couple of years, as we all know, after the COVID, the exhibitions in person, they are less and less active. So if they can ever like happen, they are like not as many participants, let's say, as before. So we went online, of course, so WeChat, or for example, we use Ringier, that is a platform of a sector platform. So basically, it's these two. And then, of course, journals. So we do articles in the, and then we publish them there. And I think the big advantage is to have both a local and foreigner team, so we can learn from each other.
That's interesting. So how do you do this? How do you train your team? How do you coach and develop your team and also your partners to follow your lead and your ideas, your strategy?
My main aim, so I study anthropology. So my main anthropology studies social sciences. So studies how different cultures come up with different solutions for the same problems. So very easy example is how to eat, right? So in the Western world, we eat with fork and knife. And then here we eat, so the food is different, of course, and then they adapt it. So since they have rice or they have other food, they make the food in a different way, and then they eat and adapt with chopsticks. This is what is the main concept of anthropology. And I try to, my idea is to try to apply these concepts also into business. So of course you have to be flexible. So you have to adapt to the new situation. In the years, I found that the key to get everything done and then to follow the lead and to have all the team participating is inclusiveness, to get everyone involved. So everyone can understand why it is done this way. This is the main key of having the things done. Now, training given by the company is very important. So the company culture, this is very important. In the same way, so it's the collaboration between departments. You have to be inclusive. You have to be transparent. Then you have collaboration. And then this is the best way that you can learn from each other. and you can succeed.
And how do you get headquarters to join you and to follow your lead? How do you make sure they listen to your analysis? If you want to make some changes in the marketing strategy based on, let's say, COVID, how do you make sure they agree and they follow?
I think I would say that I'm very lucky. So we have a very supportive headquarters. So no, not really like anything in specific to do. But I work in an Italian company. So, of course, the language and the cultural background with an Italian headquarters is helping a lot. It's very important. Again, I think inclusiveness and transparency are the key. So using logic and showing the reason of the choices that you do, coordinated of with being transparent, then, I mean, we are all human, so they're going to understand. And of course, like, and to be open also to other people's choices and reactions and other people's idea as well. But most of the times, the headquarters is very supportive and they also rely. So they have local people here, they have foreign people here, and they have a team here. So the whole purpose of having someone here is to listen to them and then to have an open discussion, because sometimes the headquarters have more experience on the products or on the technologies that can be used. And the local people, they have also experience in technologies and in the applications that they see and that they are using here. So I think it's a mutual understanding and a mutual learning.
You talk about transparency a lot. I'm not so sure about transparency in China, to be honest. Chinese, they are not so transparent. And if you put topics too transparent, too open, then it makes them afraid. It shows too much information. So usually the whole concept of guanxi is used and needed in order to protect yourself to get transparency, because you don't usually get it. You have to earn it. So how do you teach Chinese professionals to be transparent?
I think they are transparent in their way. Maybe they're not transparent in the way that we think you have to be transparent. So in our way, for example, you have to be transparent and then you tell everyone what you think and then you just put, for example, in copy everyone. For Chinese, being transparent is telling only maybe one person what you think and then to get through the relationships what you want the other people to know. So they are transparent in their way, let's say. Sometimes it's useful to have our transparency and our logic, and sometimes it's useful to have their transparency. I don't know if you agree, Francis, with me, but they are very honest, and sometimes it's too honest from our point of view when they have the good ones.
Yes, yeah. I totally agree.
In that way, they have a transparency as well. So
yes,
this
absolutely.
Is what you said. It's like
absolutely,
as long as you have their trust. And of course, it takes longer maybe than among foreigners to get. But when you have, they're even more too much transparent. And
I understand. But if you develop markets in China and you need this guanxi in order to open new doors, do you sometimes feel that a Chinese person can do this job in a better way? Does a Chinese person have some kind of advantage? And what's your advantage as a flexpat in return to this?
Again, I take again anthropology. So anthropology is also very helpful to build bridges, what I say, yeah? So to build bridges between cultures. So you understand both or all the cultures that they are involved. And with culture, I mean company culture, for example, or Italian culture, Chinese culture, or engineer culture is a frame of mind. And sometimes is more effective in some situation, is more effective an engineer mind. It doesn't matter where it comes from. Math is the key maybe, or logic is the key, or sometimes it's more effectful, like more fruitful to have a Chinese face, and then we put a Chinese face. Or sometimes it's more effectful to have an Italian face, and then you put an Italian face. So I think each aspect, not only being Chinese or Italian, like I would not say in this way, in my idea, okay, inclusiveness also means this. So you know what the other person's strong point and characteristics and different aspects are. So you can take advantage of each other and to reach the final goal.
I totally agree. And I'm a German sales director of a Chinese company. And so a lot of people, they ask me, how is that even possible? So how can a Chinese company hire a German sales director? The first question would be, okay, you're doing business in Germany, right? No, we're doing business in China. Wait, why do you have a German sales director to do business in China again? I think I totally agree to what you say. Have you ever had the situation where you felt that you as an Italian can open doors in a good and sustainable way?
Yes, many times. So for example, like when you open a new market, of course, we are host here, right? So we are not, okay, I feel at home, but I'm not in my own country, right? So as long as you respect this and you know this and you're aware of this, these sometimes lead you to have more, like, less prejudice, maybe. So you know this, sometimes maybe you can do more than what you could do maybe back in Italy, because you know you're gonna be afraid maybe to do this, because then it's gonna have some effects on you. And sometimes, of course, to open a new market, the sales, for some people, they're afraid of doing something, because totally understandable, because they don't know, they're gonna lose face. And then in this kind of situation, maybe with an Italian face, is like, oh, okay, she's Italian, so she's doing this because she's Italian and she doesn't know. And then you can maybe ask some more questions or open some new doors.
But you're really very, very special. And you have a big and huge experience. This also includes Chinese language. So how much Chinese language do you actually need in your job? And how much Chinese language would you say other flexpats need in their job?
In my opinion, to live in any country, knowing the local language is a big part of the experience. So again, in anthropology, we say that if you don't know the language, you cannot read, you cannot listen, you cannot really experience the place that you are. So I think it gives a very, very good upgrade of your personal life, of your quality of life. So I really highly suggest any expat, any people that come here to learn the language. And then, of course, to the level that you think you're comfortable in having your life here. It's not mandatory to know the language. You can succeed even if you don't know the language, but it's a big plus, let's say. It's a big advantage.
I totally agree. I can do keynotes in Chinese now. And people come to me and say, I've never seen a foreigner do a keynote. And it's so interesting. And then for a Chinese company again, so it's really, I mean, people are so confused to say this is a Chinese company with a German guy speaking in Chinese about German, you know, engineering. It's really interesting. It also opens a lot of doors. And this is my job as well. So this is why I'm so interested in talking to you today. Based on your long experience, both your university experience, your university education, and your entrepreneurship journey, and now your job at Mapos. So what are you thankful for looking back on this career, this flexpat lifestyle?
I think to having had the opportunity to be out, to be outside of my comfort zone, to have the opportunity to growing and keep learning from new challenges, new environment, and so different challenges that what if I had, if I would have stayed home. So is a different environment with different challenges and different way to cope to the challenges. So this I'm very grateful to be had the opportunity to be more open.
That sounds fantastic. And what do you see in the next 10 years?
In the next 10 years. So I hope I can keep growing and keep learning and I don't stop, because if I stop learning and I think I don't have any learning opportunities, then this is the problem. So yeah, it doesn't matter where I'm going to be. I really hope that, so this is what the reason why I also, like, I joined a bigger environment. So I joined Mapos and I grow and I closed my company to have the opportunity to learn and to grow really, like, in a bigger environment. Keep learning from new challenges.
And what could go wrong? What are you afraid of?
Not learning enough. So not learning enough, don't have the time, enough time to learn what as much as I can, and not absorbing enough things that other people can give to me.
Who should listen to this podcast episode and why should they? What message would you like to share?
I think anyone can listen. Anyone can listen. Someone that wants to know how is the life abroad, or someone that wants to know how to be in a team of a different kind of background people. And the message that I would like to give is Qiu Tong Sun Yi. So this is a proverb of Chinese culture. So it means search from the common thing, search and go deep in the common things that you have with others and keep aside the differences. So it means it doesn't matter if you are, Italian, Chinese, if you're technical, if you're not technical, if you are from marketing, if you're not from marketing, to work in a team and to succeed, especially in challenging environments as China or in a new market, to be a team and to succeed, you just find the common places. I never found a real English translation for this, but I think it's going to be to keep the differences aside and look for the common things that bring each other together.
Is there some last message which you want to share with our audience?
Well, last message would be flexible and keep adapting and don't stop to learn.
Beatrice, thank you so much for coming on the China Flexpert podcast today. 谢谢, and 再见.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
If you have a friend who is also working in business development or sales, opening new markets in China or bridging cultures, working with Chinese teams or any other topics we have discussed today, why don't you take a screenshot of this episode and share it with your friend? Maybe he or she will take some value from this. We try to grow the China Flexpert community and we need your help. If you want to reach out to us directly, you can find our contact details in the show notes. If you really want to help us, you can give us a 5-star review on your podcast app, especially iPhone Podcast or Spotify. And follow us on LinkedIn, reach out to us and help us to promote this content to anyone interested in working in China and developing a career in China.